Welcome, everybody. I'd like to call this meeting of the Oregon Board of Forestry to order. First, take a roll call to ensure we have a quorum. Nils Christopherson.
Here.
Cindy Deacon Williams.
Here.
Joe Justice.
Here.
Jim Kelly.
Here.
Brendan McComb.
Here.
Mike Rose.
I'm here.
Tom Imeson. We're all here today. Just like to remind people, it would be helpful if you would silence your electronic devices during the meeting. Also want to mention that pursuant to ORS 183-335-14, no public comment can be made on agenda item 2, the smoke management rule change topic, and that's because it was part of a formal administrative rulemaking process with a public comment period that has since closed. Also want to remind people that in order to ensure that the board has the opportunity to conduct all of the business on the agenda for its meetings, public comment for agenda topics will be limited to no more than 30 minutes and received upon conclusion of the topic's presentation. That's 30 minutes for a particular item. A sign-up sheet is available for public comment on a first-come, first-served basis. And we'll now proceed with the consent agenda. Is there a motion for approval of consent items A through F?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to announce a potential conflict of interest on consent agenda E, Regional Forest Practice Committee appointments. Patrick Marola is part of that appointment. He's an employee of Hancock Forest Management. He's replacing me on that committee, so I'll be abstaining from that.
Okay.
From item E of the consent agenda.
Thank you.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, and the record will reflect that Joe abstained on that particular item.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
If I could raise one question that the review of the minutes raised in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Approved them just fine, but as I was going back through our October retreat, I noticed that in discussion regarding monitoring, we had a recommendation and suggestion from the state forester that a discussion with the external review committee would be appropriate early in the year, and I'd just like to highlight that and remind everyone that we had talked about doing that and would like to see that occur. Page 4 and 5 of the October retreat minutes, we had the suggestion that a discussion with the external review committee to outline protocol and scientific review early next year may be the best approach, and I'd like to see that happen.
And it is now next year.
It is now next year.
Next item is the state forester comments. That would be you, Peter.
Yes. It is a new year. Happy New Year, everyone, and good morning. As I look back on 2018, I'm amazed and impressed by ODF employees' continued dedication to public service in the face of increasing challenges on many fronts. It often shows up most visibly during fire season. Our entire agency stepped up with the help of landowner cooperators, partners, and responded to another challenging fire season. The 6th out of the last 7 have been very challenging. Over the course of the 2018 fire season, ODF and its forest protective associations partners suppressed a total of 1,059 fires, an estimated 75,000 acres burned on ODF protected lands this year, more than doubling the 10-year average. Across all lands in Oregon, including ODF-protected lands, 2019 wildfires burned approximately 857,000 acres. So we burned 75,000 out of the 875,000. We protect about half of the lands in the state. Staff from the agency pitched in to help where needed. Their dedication helped us meet our fire response needs and keep department business on track. In addition to keeping all their core business going, State Forest made headway on our workforce futuring business improvements. The Federal Forest Restoration continued to expand its work across Oregon. The Private Forest Program pushed forward with the Marbled Murrelet analysis, and the administrative grant supported all our agency operations while continuing to work on statewide systems improvements, including Oregon Buys, our new modern procurement system. These are just to name a few of the key projects that staff worked on while doing their core business and fighting fire. In short, I saw a lot of great teamwork. I saw a lot of flexibility and willingness to participate in all efforts. I thank all of our employees for sacrificing to meet the challenges of providing excellent public service, and I cannot say enough about all that they do. Before I get on the story on my main topic, the governor's 2019-21 recommended budget, I'm going to welcome a group of new stewardship foresters and some state forest foresters who have joined us today at the meeting and who are visiting us around the state to get oriented to their new roles, the agency, and to observe the board at work. These folks will deliver a variety of services and support to Oregon's forest landowners and state forest, including forest practice administration, forest health review, providing access to a variety of landowner assistance program with partner agencies, state forest management, and support of the Protection from Fire program. As frontline representatives of the department, they are generalists who encounter a range of topics and whose knowledge and understanding of the forest and the people of the area in which they are stationed will increase over time as a result of the services they provide. Would you guys stand up? All right. Please join me in wishing them every success as they go forward on behalf of the department and serve the people of Oregon and the forest of Oregon. Thanks a lot. This is getting to be a regular thing, which is really nice. We do get new people and new roles. We do include them in the board. It's good for them to see policy making at its best. Moving on to the governor's recommended budget, at a high level, the total statewide budget is $83 billion, which includes $2.3 billion in anticipated new revenue. The governor stated that the economy is growing. We have the lowest unemployment ever, and people are moving into the state of Oregon. She said that Oregon is at a turning point, and it's time to make significant investment in the future. The governor's focus on her priority policy areas should not be surprising. There are investments in healthcare, education, affordable housing, and climate change. Of note, within the climate change priority, the governor's recommended budget proposes merging the Office of Carbon Policy and the Oregon Department of Energy to create a new agency, the Oregon Climate Authority. There are also $2.9 billion in new cost. Most of these are fund shifts due to healthcare costs shifting from the state to the state from the federal government. Leaving about a $620 million shortfall. I know there's been discussion of PERS, so of that $620 million shortfall, $78 million attributed to increased PERS cost. So for ODF, the governor's recommended budget is around $388 million of total funds. And this is actually a 22% decrease, which caused some consternation early on. But this large decrease is due to removing one-time funding for the purchase of the Elliott Forest. $100 million was added to our budget as a one-time fund. And then removal of significant one-time costs for large fires, which are outside our base budget in the 2017-19 biennium. When you look at it from a staffing point of view, the GRB maintains consistent funding and capacity for the department, and it does not propose reduction of any filled positions. The budget does include approximately 5% reduction in funding across the department, which comes from position vacancy savings, a slight reduction in funding for services and supplies, and the elimination of 9 vacant positions. Once again, these reductions do not impact our current staffing level, and funding remains near current service level. So overall, in the past few, we've had some reductions of staffing, and there's no proposed reduction at this point. While the governor's budget does not include the agency initiative, which we spent a lot of time talking to the board about, it does recognize the need to address the increasing challenging fire seasons. Quote, Oregon's firefighting approach leads the nation in effectiveness. Yeah. However, wildfire dynamics are changing, and it's never too soon to evaluate the approach to wildfire education, prevention, suppression, attack, and community recovery. Governor Brown will sign an executive order to establish the Governor's Council on Wildfire Response. The charge of the council is to evaluate Oregon's current system for responding to large fires and determine whether or not the current model is sustainable. The council will issue a report in September of 2019 to make recommendations for the future of Oregon's wildfire response infrastructure, unquote. And so this is going to, while we didn't get any funding for the POP, and I've said this to our stakeholders and many other people, we did not have strong support among the stakeholders for that POP. There were concerns about it. The Governor's Council will provide an excellent opportunity to expand the conversation we started about the need for additional capacity in our current system for responding to large fires. The conversation is also going to include a discussion around the state fire marshal's funding as well. They're in a very similar situation of us of having a large increase in the number of deployments that they're doing, and they have no dedicated funding or no emergency funding for their deployments on wildfires. The council will also create a forum for discussion about opportunities for modernizing our system, and it will address other challenges such as underprotected lands that really arose out of the fires up in the Wheatfield area. And then impacts to communities, and that's building on the work that was done in the Columbia Gorge and after the Chetco Bar when those communities were seriously impacted and services shut down for a period of time. That involves a lot of agencies. We don't have a big role in community recovery. It's health and human services, unemployment, any number of agencies other than ours. The work completed by our 2016 fire program review and the Secretary of State audit, as well as work on the agency initiative, will provide a really good start to this commission and will help inform this commission. And the governor's recommended budget allocated $400,000 to help facilitate this process. So it actually is proposed to come with funds to do the work. In terms of fire protection, it maintains a current capacity in the fire protection division. It maintains a current funding structure for base fire protection and severity resources, but it proposes a change in the funding of large fires. So as most of you will remember, large fire costs are shared between the general fund and private landowners up through the first $20 million. And the next $30 million of cost in the deductible have been borne by the general fund, funded through the general purpose emergency fund. The governor's recommended budget notes that the amount reserved in the governor's budget for the general purpose emergency fund assumes a shift to an equal cost share between the general fund and private landowners for large fire costs. That will create some real challenges, particularly in eastern Oregon, where it's already been recognized that fire costs are too high to keep forest in forest. Hence, the east side rate relief, which was restored in the 2018 session. The GRB also reserved $6 million in special purpose appropriations in the emergency fund to pay for severity resources and the catastrophic fire insurance premiums. For state forests, the GRB increases the state forest by 16.8% over the 2017-19 legislatively approved budget. And the primary reason for the increase is spending authorizations for short sales, which allows ODF to contract for logging activities and receive revenues for logs delivered to the mill. This is one of our business improvements for increasing revenue per timber sale, but it requires more transactions, and all transactions need authorization. And the GRB also restores staffing reductions made in the 2017-19 biennium around common school funds. There were some errors made with the closure of the Elliott and things, and they fixed that. In private forest, it maintains current capacity in the private forest division, but it also includes a change on the administration of the Forest Practice Act, which is a big share of the private forest. It reflects a shift to 50-50 general fund harvest tax from the current 60-40 split on funding forest practices. In agency administration, again, maintains the current capacity, including funding for our federal forest restoration program. It also includes $150,000 additional funding to engage in a consultant to help streamline our federal emergency management, fire management assistance grants to try to speed up recovery on that and look at that process to see if we can make it more efficient. So with that, are there any questions?
Okay, any comments from board members?
Jim? Yeah. I'm gonna bring up an issue. So in the last 3 months, we have all been witness to stunning reports about the pace and the reality of climate change. Reports at every level, the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the National Climate Assessment, and more locally, the Oregon Global Warming Commission's biennial report. All share pretty much the same story. Climate change is real and affecting life here and elsewhere right now, today, and that the pace of climate change is accelerating and outpacing many previously accepted models. As a board and as a department, we have a responsibility to incorporate and prioritize all forestry issues related to climate change, especially the issue of carbon sequestration. And of course, the department is working on this issue. But the other side of the coin is that we need to proactively plan for the current and future effects of climate change on the ground, the near certainty that we will continue to have more fires to fight and more severe fires, and that it is likely only to get worse. And that there is a near certainty of other, mostly unknown, climate change-induced changes that will affect the health of our forests. With what is already clearly happening today, and as stewards of Oregon's forests, I think we need to recognize that we are in the center of a climate change vortex. We are all aware of this, and climate change is part of nearly all conversations at ODF. Nevertheless, the board's climate change policy has not been updated since 2011. We have not formalized plans that assume these worsening conditions. We have not yet fully developed policies regarding carbon sequestration, let alone strategies to implement. Climate change is not part of the current forest management plan, although it is part of the new FMP planning process. Finally, it is not part of the Forest Practices Act, and this has a real effect, as noted in today's agenda item number 3 regarding the Siskiyou Forest. So personally, I would like to see this addressed as the urgent priority for the department. While I appreciate that the department is working on the role of carbon in forests as an emerging issue, that in itself, in my view, is not fully adequate. Thank you.
Thank you. So, any other comments on that issue?
Yeah, I'd like to sort of chime in support of your observations. I think it's really important that in all of our deliberations and all of our decision-making on all issues that a full incorporation of the anticipated impacts of climate change be part of the planning process and part of the analytic process. I think it is absolutely incumbent upon us whenever we're considering new rules, new regulations, new policies, that entire discussion, planning, and analysis be done within the full expectation of the implications that we know already. So, for instance, in both the state forest management planning and in the riparian rule discussions that we're having, it is important not only that we talk about whether or not we are meeting our goals under current conditions, but whether or not we have the potential to be able to meet our obligations and goals under the anticipated future conditions. They're pretty well defined, pretty well known. As far as I can tell, with the climate science knowledge over the last several decades, the only changes that has occurred is that the science is finding that the impacts are happening quicker, earlier, and stronger than originally anticipated. So it's something that I think is absolutely required that we incorporate front and center as a primary consideration in everything that we do. And in addition to the carbon sequestration component, I think it's very important that we think in terms of the adaptation strategies. We think in terms of what can we do to change our management so that we're more likely to allow the resources that we care about to survive under the changes and impacts and pressures that climate change is bringing.
Yeah, I just hope the conversation can be, you know, can be complete, you know, because Oregon has the ability to store a great deal of carbon in a variety of different ways, including within trees, within forest products. And we have this unique ability. Oregon is very unique. It's a wonderful state that we can do. We grow a tremendous amount of timber. We convert that timber into forest products, which stores carbon. And I think we need to make sure that that's part of the conversation, because we can think about this in a couple different ways. And that's just what I would add, is that it needs to be a complete conversation, a complete thought process as to what Oregon can really do to impact this global issue. And how can we as a state be the most effective? And so that I would just add that needs to be certainly a part of our conversation.
I just want to support Jim's comment. I too think that climate change needs to be front and center. It's no longer an emerging issue. It's an issue that's facing us right now. And I also agree with Joe that it needs to be a complete conversation, and we need to carefully consider the half-life of carbon storage in forest products as well as wood in the forest, and understand what the trade-offs are associated with various management approaches that will sequester carbon for the longest period possible, whether it be in forest products or whether it be trees left in the woods.
So Peter.
Yeah, so, you know, and perhaps it shouldn't be in an emerging issue because of the name of the emerging issue, but I have one staff person dedicated to carbon analysis, Andrew Yost, and he's done an amazing amount of work and he's brought it to this board. In fact, I'll remind the board that we recently completed in 2015 the emerging issue on climate change adaptation, where the board adopted a number of recommendations. In fact, kind of one recommendation that kind of counteracts one of our forestry program for Oregon recommendations around reforestation and looking at new seedlings, because turns out that Douglas fir is more adaptive than we thought, as you heard at our last meeting from our seed orchard. So we do have it in the emerging issue because that's where we have the capacity. It's also been turned over to us from the Global Warming Commission because they could not get to consensus on the forest topic. And so we have, at the request of the governor's office and the Office of Carbon Policy, we've taken on the more detailed analysis of stocks and flux in Oregon's forest. Well, we're also contracted for a stocks and flux analysis of full harvested wood products. And those are ongoing now. Well, ongoing as soon as the federal government starts back up, but they're in practice. We did just recently cancel a meeting to talk about some preliminary results. And so we have brought that preliminary work of the Oregon Global Warming Commission to the board in June, if I recall correctly, at LeGrand, and those results, and that's been turned over to us. We also do have plans for a more forward-looking analysis around carbon storage, because that's where the rubber really hits the road. The first two look back over the past 10 years, what has been the stock and flux of Oregon's forests, and preliminary results that were presented at June. Oregon's forests are sequestering about 30 million metric tons of carbon per year. We have not gotten results yet back on the wood products analysis and new numbers for that. But the final study would be looking at alternate management scenarios. And, you know, there are enough work out there now that we kind of know the range of examinations. We can look at changes in forest management practices to increase biomass on the ground is one. So longer rotations if you're short of culmination of mean annual increment. Another is making sure that as much wood products goes in to long-lived wood products. Another is avoiding deforestation, and on that, Oregon's a leader in the nation in terms of land use and protecting forests as forests. So we got to, I think we'll see when we compare our results to the California report, there'll be a difference there in terms of carbon loss due to due to land use conversion. But again, looking at a forward-looking scenario, and that's, we're starting to, that's the next study we would be doing to talk, looking at strategies. And I think the board discussion also needs to be on, you know, what sort of approaches. So I will be reaching out to the governor's office, expressing if the board is interested in making this a priority, to coordinate with them. And because right now they have a climate change bill in the legislature, and they are looking at least the previous two bills, and it looks like there is interest on, offsets from land use, so both agriculture and forestry and estuaries, looking at what are the opportunities there. So there may be a real crucial role in terms of protocol for this board, depending on how that legislation comes out. Again, I'm looking at how do we shift some capacity around to try to free up some more capacity to address some of these issues, and perhaps there'll be an opportunity through the legislation to have additional capacity to address some of these issues. One of the reasons why we're contracting so much of this out is there is good expertise at FIA around carbon stocks and flows. They produce the California report. We're using the University of Montana, I think it is, Bureau of Economic Research for the harvested wood products. They've done that in a number of states. They're also doing that for California. So all the work we're doing is consistent with the California work and will be consistent by and large with the Washington work, because we are part of that climate alliance, and we coordinate and communicate across the states and stay in a line. So that's kind of where we're at with that. You know, perhaps more discussion about what other things you might want us, some ideas of where, what other stuff we might be focused on. But maybe a first step would be to sort of refresh the board with the history of climate change work in Oregon, which we started getting involved in back in 1990, contributing to a number of reports, both on forest health and other things, and then up through the recent work in 2015 that the board did, maybe look at the forestry program for Oregon, where your current policies are stated around, and which ones we might want to look at right away. There is a goal G is to improve carbon sequestration in Oregon's forest and wood products, to paraphrase it. And there are some objectives underneath that. So maybe a first step is sort of bringing back a refresh of the work, the current board policy, and the work on that the board's done, and then have a discussion about where we want to focus our priorities. Because the board did direct us to incorporate it into all aspects of our work. And I think, you know, in some ways we are. You know, I think our agency is in a sustainable initiative. We didn't necessarily say we were dealing with climate change. We were certainly dealing with increases in droughts, bad fire conditions over the past 7 years. So, but again, that might be a good first step. So it's perhaps more board discussion and direction.
Yep. Peter, if I could sort of add, I think certainly during my tenure on the board so far, there has been a dramatic increase in the attention that's been given to the topic. I think the work that's been done once under the emerging issue auspices has been very good, particularly as it relates to the carbon sequestration component. If you do bring a top an agenda item to the board to refresh and sort of look at history and look at opportunities for future involvement and direction, I would like to see a couple of items. One dealing with both sort of components of the way the universe tends to deal with climate change, not only the mitigation aspect, the carbon sequestration question, but also the adaptation component of it. You know, how do you identify where the climate refuges are on the landscape, and what are we doing in order to manage the land so that those climate refuges are likely to persist through time? You know, that kind of stuff. I think we need to give equal attention to both aspects of a response to climate change. Secondly, while I think we've done some very good work sort of in our climate emerging issue stovepipe, I think it would be also very useful to have a summary of what has been done to integrate the reality of climate change occurring into daily operations and decision making. And I think we probably haven't done as much in that area as we should. You know, at this point, personally, I think it should be a given that that is one of the topics discovered or covered in all of our discussions, and that's not the case. So it, you know, I think a good refresh and identification of existing policy, when policy changes were made, what we've done on both mitigation and adaptation, and what we've done to integrate climate change into daily operations, and consideration in daily operations would be very helpful.
Yeah, and so to remind you, the board did make recommendations for us to do that in 2015. Yeah. And so I think a summary of some of the key things that we have done would be useful.
I just want to clarify that, you know, a big part of my concern is really the operational concern for the agency, because I'm very concerned that the agency becomes overwhelmed in future years by these longer fire seasons and by the effect that alone will have on other agency work, whether it's foresters out there working to prepare sales or conservation work. Or if we start seeing a big uptick in infestations and that kind of thing. I can see a scenario where we are constantly overwhelmed and not getting our job done as stewards of the forest. So that I think that goes to looking at budgets and requests and how we deal with the legislature and you know, things that are out, you know, not fully in the control of this board or this department. But that's part of what I want to be mindful about.
And I really appreciate that, because we are overwhelmed. Let's face it, when you think about the statistics of 55, an increase in 55 FTE equivalents during fire season in regular and overtime, and that's not counting all the people, our leaders that don't get overtime, that put in another slug of overtime hours. Yeah, it is a real concern, and so I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
So do you have a sense of when we might, when is the next time that we could actually organize more of a briefing and discussion around this?
So I'm looking at Chad, because I still only have one person.
Just so we have.
But we were thinking, April, remind me? I think we could bring back a topic that builds on, that sets a good base to bring this whole board to the same understanding of what the current policies are, what work has been done, focusing on more recent board direction to the department in 2015, and then some of the work that we think is related and the way we've incorporated that into our daily work, something about at that level, at a high level, and then begin to discuss where do we want to go. And we'll be thinking also in terms of, you know, we maybe change it to quit calling it an emerging issue. It will still be our partnership and planning shop that will probably be the lead on tackling this problem, and it may require some thinking about what are we going to drop. You know, as I always want to reassure you, they're currently working on three topics for this board, and if we shift the focus, and so we'll bring back some options about, you know, if you want to shift this focus.
That's what I think is the options that would be helpful for us and also enable public participation in this conversation.
Yeah.
Is that reasonable?
Great. Okay. Thanks.
We do have two people who've signed up for public comment on items that are not appearing on the agenda today, Mark Stern and Sid Lichen.
Chair, I would say this is Mark Stern. I was going to comment on the Forester's testimony before the Ag Natural Resource Committee that highlighted in particular the challenges of Department of Capacity at the fire season.
You want to?
I feel like Peter, your opening comments covered it
well
today.
Thank you.
Good morning, and thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak under public comment. My name is Sid Lichen, and I'm a fully recovered elected official, and I'm actually proud of that. Spent 20 years in local government, representing Springfield as mayor, and 8 years as county commissioner in Lane County. I'm here today to talk about. First of all, I just want to say to the forester, state forester, I really appreciate your comments and really appreciate that. And also just want to add that Lane County, we were always proud of the very good relationship we've had with ODF in our area. Link Smith has actually become a good friend, you know, over the years, and very, very good staff that you have there, by the way. And I just want to compliment on that. Today, I'd like to talk to you about what we're at a crossroads in terms of our forest land and unsustainable trend towards ever-growing and ever more devastating wildfires. Fires are growing in intensity and size and taking entire communities with them. It's a problem I know that you're all aware of and concerned with. By the way, my wife, her division manager, happens to live in a community called Paradise, California. And her home was one of a few that's still standing today. And so got to see that pretty firsthand. But first, I want to commend the Board of Forestry and the members of the EQC, as well as ODF and DEQ staff, for thoughtfully putting forward new smoke management rules that will allow for more efficient, effective, controlled burning on forest lands in Oregon. This is an important piece of the puzzle, but it's not enough. Forests must be managed. It turns out that the solution to this issue is to allow foresters to do their jobs. The numbers bear out. Between 2008 and 2017, roughly 80% of the acres that burned in wildfires in Oregon were on United States Forest Service lands. And in 2017 fire season, an equal number of fires started on Forest Service and private forests, but roughly 94% of the acres that burned were in federal forests. The same pattern happened last summer too. Half the fire starts were in private forests, but only 5% of the total acres burned run privately managed timberlands. We were lucky this last year. The year before, we were choked out. Southern Oregon was choked out this year, along with Eastern Oregon. How should forests be managed? I commend this board for sticking closely to the science and partnering with Oregon State University and others to help inform smart forest practices rules that allow foresters and land managers to make prudent decisions. Clearly, that is a model that works because the vast majority of forests that are burning are not in private timberlands. Those lands are resilient to threats and allow for multiple uses. The Good Neighbor Authority program that this agency is embarking on needs to do more to help promote active forest management on forest lands, on federal lands, excuse me. Giant swaths of aging and decaying forests set aside for theoretical buffers or scenic byways, when combined with finite firefighting resources, growing populations on the forest fringe, and warmer summers are spelling disaster for communities all around the West, including right here in Oregon. My community is hosting the World Track and Field event in August of 2021, and there will be more than 200 countries represented. This is the first time in history that this event will take place on U.S. soil, and by the way, August of 2021 will be the only major world event that will be televised. We're going to be showcased, folks. We are excited and anticipating a wonderful event that will truly put U.S. track and field on center stage, with Oregon as its host. We are also terrified with the thought that fire might be the lead story as contestants are forced to choke down billowing smoke, exposing them firsthand to our Western U.S. disaster. As I said earlier, this problem stems from management practices, and the numbers clearly show that lands managed under the Oregon Forest Practices Act are not the problem. In conclusion, I implore you as you make decisions, please keep these concepts and statistics front and center in your minds and continue to promote sound, active management on Oregon's forest lands. My community is proud of Oregon-grown wood, quality family wage jobs, and the carbon stored in both growing trees and harvested wood products. The Oregon Forest Practices Act works. Please keep that working for all of us. And Lane County and Clackamas County right now are battling each other on who is going to be the head of engineered wood products or cross-laminated timber. So we're in a really close battle right now, but we'll see where that goes. But the fact is, two counties are leading the conversation nationwide. Thank you very much for this opportunity.